The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.
They're holding their breath in champagne. They'll let you know. Peters on the roll. Looking for the end zone, throwing, it's caught! Daniel Barker, touchdown!
In the end zone, it is caught! Casey Washington's got it! Illinois pulled off the upset!
We're just going to kind of react to this this victory, this 24-3 victory for the Illini over Virginia. It's going to be a pretty casual conversation. If you want to speak and get your 2 cents on the game in here, just request to speak and we'll bring you up here. But Illinois is 2-1, which needed to happen. But Alex, any big takeaways for you from the game?
That was better than last week. You know, I think, man, it's kind of bittersweet because it wasn't that pretty. But then again, I'd rather have this than that 48-minute terror that was last week. but yeah, you know, defense is great. I don't think there's anything that we don't know already. The defense is pretty solid. You know, offense is going to give you a chance, but still a lot of things to clean up, and the kicking game is pretty worrisome.
Yeah, absolutely. There were a lot of moments throughout the game where I thought Illinois was going to, you know, run up the score, and they couldn't punch it in the red zone time and time again, which kind of hurt their blowout, a true blowout, like 40-point win or something like that, something ridiculous that didn't come to fruition. And obviously the offense, 4 turnovers in the first half. If you want to go back to the Indiana game and 4 quarters, basically the second half of the Indiana game, and then the first half of this game, you know, 7-8 turnovers. It's just a lot, especially for a Brett Bielema team that, you know, he very much prides himself on having teams that don't make mistakes, that, you know, play fundamentally very sound. But, you know, the last couple weeks, it's been kind of all over the place. But the special teams touchdown, I do think, kind of got their mojo going a little bit after, you know, DeVito threw a pick on the second play of the game. But overall, you know, like you said, happy to have a win. You know, people say it's better to learn from a win than from a loss. It just feels better
when he threw that interception, I was like, ah, great. Here we go. Yep. But and then Virginia kind of did some stupid things. It was kind of an exchange of just stupid stuff for the first quarter. And then, like you said, once the special teams got that touchdown, I think it kind of loosened us up a little bit. You know, we came out pretty tight, especially with that interception on the second play. And then obviously the fumbles and drop passes was looking pretty bad. And then kind of like you said, we had a lot of opportunities to get there. And then, you know, the Pat Bryant fumble was kind of frustrating, 2 missed field goals, you know, so definitely left a lot of points on the board. But again, a win is a win. And then next week should more or less be the same thing. I believe we play Chattanooga, So I think we get like a bye week.
Yeah.
Next week we're off. And then we were talking about this on a previous episode. The game is Thursday night, 7:30, September 22nd against Chattanooga. I don't know why. I feel like maybe it will be half the turnout of the Virginia game, even though the Virginia game wasn't even that big of a turnout. It's kind of a weird time for sure, Thursday night.
Yeah.
I don't really know the reasoning behind that, especially against an opponent like Chattanooga. So we'll see. But, you know, again, a win's a win. Man, if we just won last week, like...
The vibes would be so good right now.
3-0, but, you know...
The vibes would be immaculate.
Literally. Like, 3-0, going into Chattanooga, have a chance to go 4-0, and then... you know, Wisconsin's going into that Wisconsin game, obviously, you know, you never know. Iowa doesn't really look that good. They scored like maybe they like 12 points all season. And then you could have had a chance to pick them off at home. So, yeah, definitely a missed opportunity, but we'll take it.
So, you know, we had Preston Willett on here. He covers Virginia, and I think he predicted Virginia to win by 10 points. And I just thought Virginia looked horrible, like genuinely, like really bad on almost every side of the ball, offense, defense, special teams, you name it. I thought Virginia looked really bad. And I don't know if that's what they'll look like all year, but I was not expecting that, especially after our preview, you know, this earlier this week.
Yeah, I don't like what happened, because I remember last year. You know, that quarterback threw for about 500 yards, literally, not even an exaggeration. Yeah. I think it was somewhere in the 400s for sure.
Five and touchdowns, then, I think, too, or something like that.
Yeah, and then today, I mean, I think the offensive line obviously was different for him, and then he lost that tight end that was like 6'9" and just like chucking people. So I think that had something to do with it, but still, it was pretty, pretty different. My favorite part, I don't know if you noticed, was the coach just, like, screaming at him after, like, anything bad happened on the sideline. And then just, like, continuously, like, it was like Brad Underwood in the first 2 years where he's just, like, yelling at players, like, in their face. So that was pretty fun to see. But, yeah, totally different than last year. And I think that's why a lot of us predicted, especially you and me, predicted that Illinois would lose the game. But they looked so different compared to last year. So I guess that worked out really nicely because last year was just painful.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought, as far as we've talked pretty negatively about a win so far, but, you know, as far as some really cool things, I thought that stuck out, you know, getting the tight ends involved in the offense, I thought was a huge welcome change. It was really cool to see a tight end catch a touchdown pass, a couple of touchdown passes, and just to see them more involved. Luke Ford more involved. I think he had like 4 or 5 catches early, which was cool to see. And I just thought that was a cool wrinkle to Barry Lunny's offense. Also, Tommy DeVito completed a pass further than 10 yards down the field. Also, a huge bonus. That pass to Pat Bryant down there towards the end zone was really awesome. So some really good developments, but on the offensive side, there's still a lot that they really need to clean up. Red zone efficiency, I think, is one of my biggest concerns heading forward for the rest of the season. You know, the fumble, Pat Bryant's fumble near the 1 yard line, missing field goals, and it was just. They need to get better at that end of the field, but hopefully that comes with time week to week. But that's definitely a huge concern for me going forward. But today didn't ultimately matter because they were able to make big plays elsewhere.
Yeah, they just don't have that guy that can just go up and get it. So they don't have that long receiver or that guy that can win those 50-50 balls. You know, thinking about Emmanuel Bebe a couple years ago, they just don't have that guy. So that means DeVito has to be super, super accurate with his throws. And he just really isn't the most accurate touch passer, to be honest. So I think that's part of the reason why the red zone has stalled out a little bit. I think using the tight ends may benefit them a lot more. But and then thinking to what Isaiah Williams can do, he's not really that guy that can – he's not a long wide receiver that can really just get it in the end zone. He's more of an open field guy. And then, you know, teams know that Chase Brown is definitely going to get it at least once or twice, you know. So red zone is tough. And then on top of that, you know, you really can't rely on your kicking at all. I get worried even if he kicks like a 25-yarder. Yeah, so, I mean, it's pretty worrisome. I know they had a punter visiting today. The punting's not that great either. Hugh Robertson. I mean, you kind of had high hopes for him because he's Australian and so is Blake Hayes. But then, you know, one of his punts was like 30 yards. And then the two against Indiana last week, I think, like, hit popcorn vendors in the head. So Not too pleased with the kicking unit, and it's definitely going to bite us in the butt. It's going to come down to one game where I know it happened at Indiana where we had to make the field goal and he did. Good for him, but it's going to come to a point where we need it to, like, it's going to be like 1 second left, you know, kick the field goal to win, and it just like goes into the student section or something.
Yeah,
like, I just know.
Yeah, I mean, as if like the Indiana loss couldn't get worse, but like, we didn't take advantage of the Caleb Griffin made a 40-plus yard field goal game, and we
the lost. One time.
And that's just looking back in retrospect already. That's like, I really wish we could have had that one back. But
yeah, but I think they know that. I know there's a punter that's visiting today, and then I know in their recruiting class right now they have a 5-star kicker that's committed from Naperville North. So they definitely know there's a deficiency there. So you know, hopefully, I think we got spoiled with how good James McCord and Blake Hayes were. Yeah. They were just, and they were super seniors. They stayed for like 6 years, and they were just very, very stable. So definitely took them for granted because I didn't realize how great they are, especially James McCord.
Absolutely. Yeah, and more positives. Obviously, the big positive, as has been the positive all year, the defense, Ryan Walters on the defense is just unreal. They made an offense that put 500 yards up on them last season look silly today and looked like they didn't have any answers. I know I saw some Virginia people tweeting that a lot of Virginia's offensive play design and schemes were really weird and really off from last year and weren't putting their playmakers in great positions to get the ball. But anytime you can hold an offense like Virginia that we know was good last year to 3 points, I mean, that's unbelievable. So just more hats off to Ryan Walters and his crew. And I really hope the offense and the special teams comes around so that we don't waste this defense.
Yeah, I mean, the run defense has been spectacular throughout 3 games. And then today, the pass rush was really, really good. Obviously, you saw Zeke Holmes starting outside linebacker go down, but the true freshmen, both of them. Yeah, Gabe Iakas was great. Newton and Randolph did their thing. And then I think Seth Coleman definitely stepped it up a little bit. And then the secondary, you just – when Witherspoon went down, I was like, okay, God, that could be bad because there's not a lot of depth behind them. But I think those guys do their thing. Witherspoon is just an animal. I guess it's like a double-edged sword because sometimes he – dude, the guy just like talks like the entire time. Oh, it's like really cool to see. Like, it's
do you
funny.
Know what the temperature was in Champaign today? I wasn't in town.
I mean, so a couple hours north in the suburbs, it's about like 85-ish. So it's not hot. So it's hot, but it's not crazy hot. I know it's a little humid because of the rain. But yeah, I tweeted about it how there was like
cramps
at least
were crazy today. At least,
I think there was one like in every like major player. Like Chase Brown had one, Pat Bryant. Devin Witherspoon had one, Casey Washington, I think. I know they took out Julian Pearl too. I noticed that he really didn't look that good beginning of the game. So, the guys need to stay healthy because there's not a ton of depth, especially, you know, at the, looking at the running backs, looking at the DBs, you know, if Witherspoon goes down, like it's kind of cooked. So, definitely can't afford to have any of those guys go down with injury.
No, absolutely. Any other positive takeaways for you from this game?
You know, I think getting a win and making sure that you're, because I think a lot of people would have been like, okay, 3-1 is decent enough. Obviously, ideally the opportunity to go 4-0 was there. But I think if you told some people, hey, 3-1, especially given what Virginia did to us last year, I think people kind of expected this game to be the one that we drop. But going with the chance to go 3-1, obviously next week or that Thursday night game is a different story. But I think being 3-1 going into Wisconsin, who actually lost today, you know, quite a bit of upsets around the town today. Wisconsin lost to Washington State, I believe it was 17-14 at home, which was cool to see because I hate Wisconsin. And then Iowa, like I said, has looked pretty mediocre. I mean, Iowa versus Wisconsin is going to be the boringest game of the century. And then looking at a game like Nebraska, you definitely can win. Minnesota, Purdue, Northwestern looks awful. So those are some games that are there. So 6 wins, that's all I ask, you know.
Yep.
Not rocket science.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been thinking about the, you know, today's game and the last 2 games and really trying to figure out how much have we learned and how much can we learn. I think, you know, Chattanooga, there's not much that's to be learned from that game. Hopefully it's a pretty straightforward, take care of business, get out of there with a W and hopefully by a significant margin and look to Wisconsin. But I'm still kind of racking my brain around, like, how bad was Virginia? How bad is Indiana? And how bad's Wyoming? And try to figure out, okay, like, what's legit and what's not still a few weeks into the season? You know, because I don't think Virginia's as good as we thought they were going to be.
Indiana was not good.
Wyoming might be awful. So, like, trying to figure out from these first 4 games, how much can we learn before Big Ten play gets here? And I think it'll be super interesting to see what happens when we do play Wisconsin, when we do play Iowa, Purdue, go down the line, teams that are clearly, like, competent, and to see how this team reacts to that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the good thing about the basketball schedule this year is you'll definitely know early on, you know, what you have. Not to kind of get too deep into that rabbit hole, but, you know, they play teams like UCLA, Texas, they play Syracuse. You know, these are all legitimate squads that you can gauge your team against. These are definitely not. And like you said, I think Virginia is going to be pretty bad, especially given what they look like today. You can only score 3 points, you know, against us. That's, I mean, obviously credit to Ryan Walters, but that's not good. And then Indiana, I was not impressed. I mean, Illinois had that game and kind of pooped down their legs. So you definitely hit the nail on the head. I don't think we'll know until we play Wisconsin, unfortunately. You know, in a true road environment. Obviously, Indiana was a road environment, but this is kind of a step up playing at, you know, one of the more premier college football environments in the country. So I think that game against Wisconsin, October 1st, will tell us a lot. And from that point on, you know, we'll really know what we got. But I think, yeah, if you could just, like, keep the next game stress-free, have Art Sikowski come in like, the third quarter, you know, have one of the freshman running backs play instead of Chase Brown, I'd be a very happy guy. So,
oh, for sure. I agree with you. Like, Wisconsin, that'll be the first test. It would be so sick to come back home against Iowa 4-1. You know, obviously before the season, we thought that one loss would be Wisconsin. But man, 3-2 just doesn't have the same, you know, the same weight and good vibes to it that 4-1 would. But I will get over the Indiana loss someday in the future. But
it's like, yeah, it's like that basketball game where we lost to, like, Maryland at home or something, or like Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? Like that, yeah, one game, yeah, that, like, kind of cost you. So that's what that felt like. But I don't know. I'm just glad it was a pretty stress-free after the first maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was like, what, 21-3, like, basically, like, as the second quarter started, yeah. So.
When you're getting mad that you're not getting touchdowns to make it of, like, a 4-score game, that's when, yeah, you know, it's a successful day.
Oh, absolutely. And then
seeing Notre Dame lose, Texas A&M lost. So, hopefully Michigan loses. I don't think they will, but.
Wish Alabama would have lost.
They should have, man. Yeah. I mean, poor guy. I mean, that kid was balling at the beginning. I know he has kind of a weird haircut, but. Pretty good stuff from that game too. So, and Northwestern lost. Northwestern, I think,
in
lost
brutal in pretty fashion.
Hilariously fashion. I think they fumbled at the 1-yard line.
Sure did.
So that was cool to see too. So, and I think Iowa lost. I'm not too sure. I think they were losing.
Yeah, there's a lot of chaos today. Luckily, Illinois wasn't a huge part of that, though. The football has been a little chaotic over the last couple weeks, and something that we hope gets cleaned up heading into Chattanooga and the games beyond as we look to play more, you know, Brett Bielema-style football that hasn't really been there these last few weeks. It's been
You're really harping on that.
Yeah. Cut down on the turnovers, score some points in the red zone, and I think they'll be in just fine shape, and they should do that against Chattanooga. I'm not really that worried about it. Wisconsin's coming up here in the next few weeks as well. So hopefully they clean some things up and, you know, start to look a bit more like the Brett Bielema team that we thought they would be.
Agreed, man. I can't wait for the day where you can stop tweeting like kind of the sarcastic, oh, where's the Brett Bielema style of football that we were told about. So one day, man.
Oh, absolutely. It's just funny because he's like, you know, very much in,
football
in press conferences and was like, this is the way we're going to play and this is how I want our teams to be. And then they're just like not close to that.
you're starting to call Brett on some BS here.
Not quite. No, I think they'll get it cleaned up. It's just, you know, when you're kind of rebuilding a program a little bit, you've got to teach guys how not to lose. You know, it took Brad Underwood a little while to do that, to figure that out on the basketball side of things. You know, how do you get out of your own way when all you know is getting in your own way for the past, you know, several years? So I think it'll take time. I think they'll get there, but early in the season, just some really dumb stuff.
Yeah, and you need a kicker.
Yeah,
and a punter.
Special teams could use a boost. But the touchdown was great today.
It was, yeah. Matthew Bailey, another true freshman who balled out today with an interception as well.
Yeah, that's very cool. Well, thank you all for listening in to our Virginia reaction. I just wanted to come and talk with you all a little bit about the Illinois win. They're now 2-1 on the season, and they play Chattanooga in about 10 days. Hopefully that's an easy dub, and they can look on to Wisconsin. I think the 6-6 season is back on track, hopefully, after the loss last week to Indiana. And hopefully this team can look forward to the next few games, clean some stuff up, and get ready for the Big Ten season ahead. So thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace out.
The Armchair Illini Podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best online ticketing site you can find. Why? Well, because it pulls from every other available ticketing site to give you the best price possible. There's no need anymore to check out 10 different ticketing sites to find the deal you're looking for. SeatGeek basically does all of that for you. Not only that, but SeatGeek has a value system sorted by color to let you know if you are actually getting a good deal on your tickets or not. You can sort by best value, lowest price, and more. Now here's the best part. If you use code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, you can get $20 off your first order. So what are you waiting for? Attend your next unforgettable sporting event or concert by checking out SeatGeek today. Again, use promo code ARMCHAIRILLINOIS, all one word, and get $20 off your first order.